Let's tackle this one also, because part of our boldness, for us to understand our relationship with the devil. Are you getting my point? That is where do we stand, where the devil is standing? It's very important we know it as Christians. Though. Say it like you believe it. The prince of this world is coming.
The prince of this world is coming.
But he has nothing in me.
But he has nothing in me.
Because I have been washed by the blood of Jesus.
Because I have been washed.
And I have been made clean. Say it, I live above sin. By the power of the righteousness of God. Say it, I live above Satan.
I live above the works of the devil.
As it is written,
greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world. Say, the greater one lives in me.
The greater one lives in me.
I am not afraid of the devil.
I am not afraid of
demons.
I am not afraid of evildoers.
You know those is when we were children. I remember once when I was in university, this man of Christian Pentecostal Mission, CPM, Reverend Ezekiel, came to preach in our school and he was casting out demons from some small girls. I didn't know that all these fine girls could have evil spirits. I was a small child. I still remember one girl wearing big belt like this. Ah, see this serious girl? You get evil spirit too. But the gist about it was that serious, no be my casting out. Serious one. Animals, they scream, they fly. Ah! Now I go locate one guy where they tall. I stood behind him. I would look over his shoulder. The guy didn't know I was using him for, you know, bullshit. When they say, come out, I go dodge like this. I was afraid before the thing hit me in the face. You know, it was my first encounter in my life. I was here once in the University of Benin. You were doing crusade. I mean, he made some dangerous calls like that and began to pray for people. I remember one girl, he prayed for the girl, hit the floor, pow, like this, he faced his direction and continued to pray. Somebody went to the girl to go, and he said, leave her alone, that demon is going. He just said, leave her alone, the demon is going. And the man will shout, come out, I go dodge. You know, my fear was that on his way, he might see me. He shall come out. But now, I have understanding. I know if the demon sees me, he will take another direction. If I know one may go, I go block every angle. Say, catch that one today. It's understanding. Are you getting my point? It is understanding. Now, I'm not afraid. You are casting out 1 million demons. I will just go on my way normally. Now, then go check. Say, see the direction bank is in. Take it that way. Before we go into the lake of fire, before the time. Are you getting my point? It's important we understand it. Our place when it comes to the devil is not your mate. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's why you are not afraid of him. Say it, greater is he that is in me
than
he that is in the world. Say,
I have been washed
by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, the prince of this world cannot hold on to me. As it is written. He stripped the rulers and authorities of their power and made a public show of them
and triumphed
over them
in the cross of Jesus Christ.
Said, I have been set free.
I am seated with Christ Jesus
on the right hand of God the Father, far above principalities and powers.
And every demonic power.
Therefore, I'm not afraid of witches.
I'm not afraid of Satan.
I'm not afraid of the devil.
Say, no demon can possess me.
No demon can stay in my life.
No demon can stay in my body.
No demon can oppress my mind.
Say, my mind has been washed
by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Therefore, I am free.
Say, therefore, I am free.
Therefore, I am free.
If the Son shall set you free,
the Bible says,
you shall be free indeed.
Say, the Son has set me free.
And I am free indeed. Let's give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just acknowledge God for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take your seats. But before we go, you know, something led to it. You know, we've been talking about righteousness for some time, you know. And one way or the other, I now encountered the book. The books by E.W. Kenyon again. So I quickly located the one, Two Kinds of Righteousness. And I began to read it again. Ah, I said, oh my God. I want everybody here to please go and get a copy if you can. Two Kinds of Righteousness by E.W. Kenyon. You know, somebody gave me an electronic copy. So, Israel, we'll talk after, all right? Or led me to where I could find it more like. So we'll talk after. But I want everybody to read. There was something Kenyon said. He said that the church, now he was talking about his own time, that the church has been strong in preaching about sin, in preaching about repentance and all of those things. And those things came out of what we call the holiness movement. You understand? He said, but the church had not been strong on the teaching on righteousness. He said, what the emphasis on sin and all of that did was to weaken the faith of people. Now, I'm saying this again, that the church in modern day has been strong on teaching on works. Now, it started out as a good thing, but the emphasis was overly placed upon it, and it was not well balanced. So women began to think that the way by which they attain anything with God is by what they do. And listen, I want you to understand again, that does not give you confidence before the throne of God. And if it gives you any confidence, it's a misplaced confidence. What am I saying? Listen, these words we have declared today, imbibe them, repeat them to yourself. It gives you confidence in life that makes you win. Are you getting my point? Listen, my wife can testify. Eh? It's a matter of fact. I don't know when I was in secondary school, don't think I've always been like that though. When I was in secondary school, I used to fear a lot. Yes, at least I used to be, in fact, one of my friends, my bosom friend that time, used to be very angry with me. You know, we're in boarding house, if senior talk like this, I would begin to tremble. And he's like, what is wrong with you? Because he didn't care. If they beat two of us, Nami go cry, he no go cry. And at the end, he'll be rebuking me, what is wrong with you? At least, I used to be like that. But I don't know when last I was afraid like that. I don't know when last. And it all began when we were in school those days. And we began to hear the word of righteousness. The word of holiness. True holiness, though. I don't mean pretense holiness. True holiness. Being consecrated to God. I can't remember being afraid of Satan. Devil. I can't. That must have been like 30 years ago. In modern times, I can't remember. What I learned, which is the truth of the word of God, is that if I'm coming this way, Satan will take the other door. You get what I'm trying to explain? That is it. And when my wife met me, one of the things she learned, she observed, was that, in fact, she interpreted it as arrogance, and this man is just too full of himself. I went home and prayed about it and came back and said, it's a lie. I'm full of God. Yes, because I learned from the word of God to be very bold about everything. If everybody is wearing expensive suits, I have a cheap shirt, I feel inferior to who? Hey! I used to say something those days. I used to say it all the time. And some women used to get angry, some used to laugh. I said, listen, all of you young women, better be begging me now to marry you, because all this one that we're saying, we're all the same level now. And some people will get angry. Some will just like, don't mind, just be talking nonsense. Some will laugh. Some will find it very funny. But I always said it, and I meant it. And I used to say, that how many planes have you seen flying, and they stop to take passenger? That any plane that wants to fly and take somebody will park on the ground. Then you have to be grounded first. Before you can take it, I say, listen, I'm grounded now. All of you had better enter. That once I take off, they don't close door, pressurized cabin. Listen, Why did I used to talk like that? It's simple. Because I studied the word of God. All right? And that word was always... It's not something you just make up your mind. Let me talk. It affects you. I don't know what I get on and say. It affects you. It affects you. It drops from your mouth. It's what you imbibe every day. And that's what I want to encourage us again concerning. These confessions we took today, try and get the tape. Play it all the time until the words ring in your heart. Listen, while you are sleeping, while you are sleeping, those things will continue to talk. You know, some people are afraid of demons that fly by night. I hear Christians say they don't want to sleep at night because they want to terrorize the devil at night. You know what? My snoring is terror to the devil, I hope you know. It is. It is. If I lie down at night, I'm snoring. The devil knows that something strong is about to happen. Something very, very strong is about to happen. Let's leave this place. There's a scripture for it. Say, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. The Lord alone makes me dwell in what? In safety. It's the word of God. Listen, I learned that thing long ago. The Bible says the righteous are as what? Bold as a lion. Understand this. You have been made righteous. Say it if you believe it. I have been made righteous. I have been made righteous. I didn't realize until now that a lot of Christians didn't understand that. So they are laboring. Any day he doesn't pray, he's afraid that my righteousness don't weaken. When last you shared the gospel with somebody, don't you know you may just die and go to hell? Why? Because the blood of those who did not share the gospel with is going to be chasing you about. I will preach to who I'm supposed to preach to, but not because I'm afraid his blood will chase me about. I'm going to heaven. Your blood can only chase me into heaven. That's the worst you can do. You pursue me there in a hurry. That's the worst you can do. That is the worst you can do. I'm not going to, because of fear, preach to you if I don't preach to you now. And he said, the Lord will require his blood from you. Hey, we require it at the judgment room in heaven now. I don't enter the place to kill. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Yes, it's right. It's a righteousness mentality. It's a confidence that I've had for a very long time because of the instruction of the word of God. And I'm challenging you again as believers. Understand that. You know, I keep on saying this all the time. Christians must understand it. Anytime you are trying to do something so that God can give back to you, it is because you think you have not yet attained the amount of righteousness necessary to achieve that thing. What does that mean? You are pursuing righteousness by works. I'm going to continue discussing that on Saturday. We believers, we don't do that. We do what is right because it's our nature. What did I say? It's our nature. That's just why we do that which is right. I say it to you all the time, I don't give because I want to prosper. Pastor Bank, you don't want to prosper. I prospered long ago. I still remember when I prospered. That day I opened, two things happened. I read John F. Avanzini. He said something that will appear simple, but it was so profound, it hit me very hard. He said, God said to Abraham, the father of many nations, I have made you. That if God says something about you, you are that thing, there and then. That Abraham didn't have a child, didn't have anything, and God said to him, I have made you. That is, are you already made? It didn't hit me like, wow! After that day, I didn't walk out for Lagos like this. You made that my wife with boldness. Hey. The second thing was, I opened my Bible one day. If I don't know how it arrived there, Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Those two things combined, I knew I had broken through. And in fact, I should have changed my second name to Breakthrough. No, I knew I'd made it. I knew in this life, no, that one is taken care of. Every other thing I do in life is a consequence of the knowledge of that fact. Do you get my point? Yes. It's a consequence of the knowledge of that fact. Not giving money because God is going to multiply it for me. No. The amount of money he has kept, you get my point? The amount of prosperity he has kept cannot be multiplied again. I don't know whether I get the point. It's infinite. I'm not begging him to multiply it. Because I recognize it is there, I can be generous. And if you're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, you see it. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited or put their hope in the uncertainty of riches. He said, instruct them to put their hope in God. They began to explain to them, teach them to do good, to be rich, that is to be generous and ready to share. When that revelation hit me, I shared it with my wife then, just before we got married. I said, listen, look at what the Bible is saying. Anybody whose trust, whose faith, whose hope is in God is a generous person. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That was when I was planning my wedding and I needed every dime I could get. After sharing that revelation with my wife, I was about to marry. I realized I wasn't preaching to her, I was preaching to myself. All the money I was trying to gather, if I now took it, began to share it. A friend of mine was wedding a week before me. I said, oh boy, I know you have been spending money. I gave him some money. The guy was like, man, where did this guy hit this thing? Because we worked in the same place. We all knew how tight things might be. I went to church, put money in an envelope, dropped it. After service, I greeted Pastor, oh God, well done, sir. God said that. You know, God, I didn't say God said, but you know, I just dropped an envelope in his. I just began to spend money. I began to live freely again. Why? Because I read the scripture. Are you getting my point? That those who their faith is in God, who have their hope set on him, they are generous and ready to share. That's how Christians are generous. Not because they're trying to get something out of God. Because they know that in life, you know, remember that scripture we read just now? He was rich, yet he became poor. So that we, through his poverty, might become what? Rich. The word is rich and poor, and he meant it in literal sense. Hey, how will my prosperity come? Listen, I'm not discussing that now. But one of the things, maybe later on, hey, if I can remember that I said this, later on I'd like to explain that thing again. One of the major, if you go and check it, God, when they came to Jesus Christ, he told them, when the people sent by John, said, go and tell them what you both see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and as the lepers are cleansed. He said, but the poor have the gospel preached. The gospel what? Preached to them. Why didn't he give them money? Because he realized that the sickness of poverty is not cash, it's a mindset. Are you getting my point? Somebody can be physically sick, they can get healed. But if somebody is poor, that the poverty is not that he does not have money, that he needs to have his mindset rearranged. Listen, take time out to rearrange your mindset, your prosperity will flow. I listened to this man. I read his book, sorry, more like Sunday Adilaja. He said that there was a series in that book, Money Won't Make You Rich, that he was teaching in the church. He taught people a lot of things. He said one poor pastor, very poor, very, very, very poor, and half literate, showed up in their church. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, which a man found. Then he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that thing. Or treasure buried in the ground. A man sold all he had to buy that plot of land. That was what that man did, literally. He went and sold what he had to gather enough money to buy tapes in the church, the whole series. He sat down and began to listen. The man was half literate, so it took him a long time to be able to decode all the things that they were saying. In a short while, after decoding that thing, he became a multimillionaire. It wasn't somebody just laid hands on him, because his mindset was rearranged to be able to receive that which God actually had planned for him. Look, you already prospered, amen? God has already poured abundance of prosperity over your head. What he just saying is that rearrange your brain to be able to form the channels to bring it down to earth. Yeah, that my friend and I were talking. That's Mike. Something led to it. You know, there are talk, some things you say, God said you don't qualify. Let me give an example. Why should somebody be flying first class F? You make that statement, you know what it means? You don't qualify. Nobody say God is vexed. So I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. He's not angry. It's just that you don't qualify. I don't know whether he gets my point. That is until the gospel of understanding, and it's not by force. If you say why should they, it means you don't know. I mean, nobody so. There's no fight. I mean, even me talking to you now, you know, if you give me money to fly first class, I'm not going to fly first class. Why should I fly? You know, it's just the level. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That's the way it is. But let me just warn you ahead of time. You can tell yourself, why should I fight first lies? Okay. Don't open your mouth to say, why should they? That accusing spirit is bad. Yeah, it sprinkles bad things into your front. It's not good. All these rich people say, don't mind them. They are not happy. They can't sleep at night. When you become rich, you won't sleep. You won't sleep. Why? You prophesied it that rich people don't sleep at night. Some people is envy and jealousy, vexation of spirit. It's making them talk nonsense. Yeah, that a man flew alone, private jet, went abroad, and the whole thing was 10 million naira, the cost of food and everything. That is money that the poor people can use. Judas, a company of Judas. How do you respond to such things? They didn't ask me for offering for it, did they? It don't concern me. Like my wife would say, why am I swallowing Panadol for somebody else's headache? One guy for that side, I get headache. Me, I go buy Panadol, they shark for here. You know, some people are very funny. They say, your pastor is using your money to fly. I said, wait, did you say your pastor or my pastor? Which one? Did I come to your house to come and complain? You know, some people are very funny. Just zip your mouth, it doesn't concern you. So they are building universities that poor people can't go to. After all, they gave offering to build the university. If you and your brother start a filling station, will you collect fuel from there free? You know, go pay. Have you ever asked yourself how much it costs to build a university and to run a university? You have no idea. You just sit down there and be talking nonsense. And thereby closing yourself from prosperity. Why? Because you have not heard the gospel. Listen, you need to rearrange your brain. And stop, keep look. Anybody that's always critical of government, critical of Dangote, why is he the only one importing sugar? If you have money, you too go and import sugar. You say anybody, just close your ears, say, I'm Bruce Alpha, I say, I'm coming. Just carry your bag, disappear. So don't keep me in poverty. It's true. My point of say, what you don't respect, you don't attract. Now, you know why I'm going to all of these things? The thing that's closing prosperity from coming to us, you know that you have not showed enough sheed. That's not why. That is not why. Your lack of seed sowing may be a sign of unbelief. You get my point? But the more important reason is because we have not imbibed the gospel that releases our brains into the channel to bring forth prosperity. You know why I'm saying all of these things? Righteousness is what I'm talking about. We're not trying to labor to attain a righteousness to become prosperous in life. That was paid for by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? It was paid for. It was paid for. And I wanted to walk around in life with that kind of confidence. You know, there are guys who are still, and it's normal, it's lack of knowledge. They are afraid. Hey, don't be angry, because there are a lot of young men here. They need to hear these things. They are afraid to talk to the woman that they really want to talk to because they feel they are broke. Did I mention your name? Why are you rubbing your eyebrows? They are afraid. They feel like, don't worry, very soon. Then they are applying for jobs just because they want to talk to one person. You see, you know, I have enough to afford them. That's nonsense. Just go and say, oh girl, are you a child of God? If the answer is yes, we got to talk. Pastor Banky gave me one revelation I want to share with you. That's it. You begin talk. I'm serious. You know, people, you know, they said we're like grasshoppers in their ears. The people are not even thinking about you. That's why my greeter, she didn't answer. I know now. I know why. This guy didn't hear. That's why he didn't answer. The problem, you know, maybe her father, she and her father acquired the day before. And that has been her mind. So you greet them. She didn't know you were greeting her. In fact, maybe you are your greeting. She looked, no, be me. She just didn't think about it. And I said, leave them. We will soon prosper. Who is them? Who is we? Look, that's what E.W. Kenyon calls sin consciousness. This sin is not only I committed something bad. Sin is, God says I'm here, I say I'm not there. That's also sin. I can't do it. I like what the pastor told me recently. He said one day, a man, he said then, I think it was in Onitsha, one man, a successful businessman in Onitsha, had been trying to go abroad for a long time, just for a holiday. They kept on denying him visa. So he told the fellow, I'll get you a visa. They struck a deal, though the man didn't pay. But they struck a deal that I'll get you a visa, you pay me this amount of money. He says, the person here just took a sheet of paper, and wrote a letter to the embassy. I abused them very well. That is, now, not like that, you know. But that's what he did. He explained to them. He had the man's document and everything that this man, this is the what he does. This is how much money he has. You guys have refused to give him a visa. Why? This is a man who is taking money to go and spend in your country. He itemized the point one by one and said, if this guy knew how to lie and to deceive you people, you have given him a visa. He wrote the letter and gave the man, saying, now go back to the embassy. The man went there, showed them the letter. They read it, they gave him a visa. And said, who is this your lawyer? Because he wrote with a lawyer's name. It was just, the point I'm just making is that, he was just told the man, listen, this is how they do this thing. You don't go there looking, no, you appear before the man, sir. You want to go to the UK? Yes, ma'am. What are you going to do? We just want to try. They tremble. Now, I've told you my story several times. Then I showed up at the American embassy. Now, somebody and the woman, they look at themselves. They look at herself like this. The balance of your account, say, I don't get money there. My balance was zero. Balance was less than $1,000, everything put together. Two accounts. And I told you before, one of them was 70,000 naira by mistake. One brother wanted to send money to Kingdom World Ministries. He did not know that my name is not Kingdom World Ministries. So he sent to my account. But later I said, I check. The name rang a bell. And I called somebody who knew somebody. And I gave me an account. I said, look, are you the one that paid money into my account? He said, yes, for the ministry. I said, you didn't tell me now. That was the only, I was going to go there with 30,000 naira balance. And that's why I do my chest too. Trust me now. Anything is poor. That's what I asked the lady. She did like this. I said, what's the problem? Is there any problem? She said, your balance is too low. I said, you asked whether it was a salary account. And I said, yes. I earn money through it, and I spend it. This is a different Nigeria. True. I'm not going to get to your front and be cowering like this. Good morning, ma. If you know, oh, pass me. I know they tell you like that. I will gauge your age. You senior. I lie. It will be like, hey, how are you doing? If you senior, good day, ma. Otherwise, I will not, because I want to go to your country, come begin tremble. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. People like me get things faster. Listen, the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. As I close, let me tell you again. You have been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are not receiving anything in life because of what you did to get them. No. You are getting those things because of what Christ did on your behalf. Later on, I will talk about it. The reason why the devil is afraid of you is not because of your height or the kind of English you speak. It is because anytime the devil sees you, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus Christ. He sees the blood that was shed. You remind him of that fact. Now make him disappear. Are you getting my point? When life is going to release to you, it's not because you have labored hard. No. I've told you before, Christians labor to be converted. That's all. We labor in faith. We labor to believe. Life will release to you, not because you have labored for those things, but because Jesus paid for them. Listen, if you will believe this. Oh my God. I pray for you that you will believe it.
Amen.
God, bow your head, please. Lord, I ask for your people. The people that you sent your only begotten son to go and suffer and die for. I ask for everyone that's listening to this sound. Give such a one understanding and revelation so that they will know that all things are theirs because of the sacrifice of Jesus. This I ask, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May God give you understanding. May he open your eyes so that you will know that indeed freely he has prepared everything for you. He has prepared good children for you. He has prepared an abundance of prosperity for you. He has prepared influence so that you will promote righteousness. He has prepared it for you.
you must understand it and you will step into it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I declare to you again, you will not die average.
Amen.
Listen, you will not be average.
Amen.
You know, I said to you last time, you've come here because I'm a preacher. So people will gather in your office also.
Amen.
In whatever God has placed upon, placed inside you as your own gift to this generation, people will gather and give you attention.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Men will bring prosperity to your doorsteps.
Amen.
Listen to this. Behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That is your heritage in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that is your portion in this life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will go far in life. Amen?
Amen.
But it's not by your strength. There's something I wanted to add to it. I almost forgot. When you have understood this, please, don't forget that thing I said. Pray your Jabezic prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you have understood this, what do? Pray your Jabezic prayer. Just simple prayer. Oh, that you will do this for me. I'll read the story of David Green again. David Green is a man. How many of you have a BlackBerry, Android phone, iPhone, whatever? You see the Bible. There's one software, Bible. They call it the YouVersion. But it shows on your screen as Bible, Holy Bible. He's the one that sponsors it. Anything you download for there free, somebody's paying. He pays. His name is David Green. He said something the other day, I laughed. And I was reading it again a few days ago. He said those days there was a company he was working for. They were doing sales of $2 billion a year. So he resigned to go and do his own company, and his own sale was $100,000 a year. Then his wife was like, his wife didn't want him to leave. He said, but now, he mentioned the name of the company. He said, now they are gone. But I'm doing sales of $3 billion a year. Do you get the point? His wife wanted him to stay because it was a big, solid company. Sales, $2 billion a year. He left that to go and start his own small startup company. That all the sales in a month was like $10,000 or less, if I $100,000 a year. He said, but look at it now. That company has since disappeared. And I am doing $3 billion a year. And this is why I told the story. He ascribes everything to simple prayer and repentance. There are times he does something wrong. He will pray to God and he will repent. And he will do it another way. And God will show favor upon him. Now, this was reported by, is it Fortune? Who are those who write about rich people? Fortune and which other one now? Forbes, yes. It's Forbes magazine that wrote this. So I didn't buy a Christian book. It's Forbes magazine that wrote it. Well, that will be your testimony also.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. Your word is always good, it's always sweet. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. And thank you for the boldness that goes with it. We worship you forever. In Jesus' mighty name.